You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Wednesday, 27 March. We've got an MPC rate decision at 3 p.m. They're not changing anything. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb offices in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, we're going to be chatting EOH results and that SPA update with Odwa Magwenchu from Tribe South Africa. We've got the CFO of Master Drilling. I'm going to say resilient set of results. I'm interested what commodities they're most exposed to. And then Connie Bloom, we've chatted with her before from Mesh.Trade. They're listing their first tokenized private bond issue. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines for MoneyWeb: illicit cigarettes account for nearly 60% of the SA market. It was 5% back in 2009. Business day: drought in central SA may lead to 10% jump in maize meal prices. Lowest harvest in 5 years, still enough for our domestic consumption, but hello food inflation. Morning markets: US was red, S&P and NASDAQ both down 0.3%. Over in the east, mostly green. Sydney up 0.5%, Tokyo up 0.5%, Hong Kong off 0.6%, and Tencent up 1.9%. Commodities mixed: gold is green, 2,200, Brent 85.49, platinum 917, and palladium 997. Rand 18.99, Bitcoin 70,500. Top 40 opening call, looking for a green open, about 170 points or a quarter of a percent to the upside.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Trading now with Odwa Magwenchu at Tribe South Africa. Odwa, EOH, I mean, once an absolute darling of the JSE. It's been a while since those heady days of 140 rand a share. Stephen van Collier largely seems to have cleaned it up. But now comes the difficult part of actually being an operating business. Results yesterday, a headline loss. Your take, I mean, is there any opportunity here? Have they got a viable edge? Or they're just a provider which is always going to leave them at perhaps the wrong end of the profitability.
I think that the business itself, you know, has had a very troubling 5 years, to say the least, from the corruption scandal, etc., and also the debt that they had. However, if you look at what's been happening in the latest results, you see that they are doing a very good job, especially after the previous rights issue, to reduce the debt that they currently have. And it has gone down substantially, almost 50 million down from operations. That being said, I mean, the business is still currently bleeding money, down about 91 million in profit to the business. So in the long term, they are looking at other factors, such as a contract with the government in 2025. Mm-hmm. That could bring the company back up again. However, that being said, right now, things are still looking tough. They still need to just get things in order on their business end.
Yeah, my bad. It was actually 180 Rand was the high back in July 2015. SPA, the food retail space in South Africa right now is all about ShopRite. SPA put out a voluntary trading update. They are seeing volume contraction. That's not just SPA. We've seen that even ShopRite's having those issues. Of course, they've got Poland, they've got Switzerland, they've got Ireland. Poland, they're looking to exit. Your take here, the chart is somewhere between ugly and frankly quite terrifying.
Yes, respect to SPA. SPA is just being, given a green light or some advantages thanks to the weakening rand in the international businesses. That's where you saw double-digit growth if you look at it in rand value. However, we are seeing something like the liquor store increasing sales quite substantially, double digits, 12.8% there. And the pharmaceutical business is also showing some great growth. So in all, I mean, yes, everyone is suffering right now from volumes. With SPA in particular, international business seems to be one of their great assets. However, across the board, all the consumers across the board are suffering and are counting their cents. So that's why volumes across is currently down.
Yeah, and I mean, they're back at 2011 prices. I mean, is there a case of, in the likes of Spa, wait and see rather than jump in? Wait for a bit of a turnaround. Wait for some price action that looks a little more positive.
100%. It's across, I mean, we said this previously about Pick and Pay, yeah. And I feel the same with Spa as well, is that, you know, we just need to see confirmation of a turnaround. Then we can look at that as a potential investment right now.
Yeah, 100%. Let's not get ahead of ourselves and start jumping in. We'll leave it there. That's Odwa Mgwentshu, Tribe South Africa. And our poll today on LinkedIn and Twitter is around EOH. I mean, are you investing here for the turnaround? It's looking better, but it's still tough there. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
Your money knows that reaching new heights means turbulence. When you invest in Stanlib's Global Multi-Strategy Diversified Growth Fund, your money can withstand the unpredictable ups and downs caused by day-to-day market fluctuations. Because our partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management gives you access to a broad range of global strategies. Seek more returns at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Andre van Deventer, CFO at Master Drilling. Results for year-end December, US dollar revenue up 7.2%, HEPS US dollar up 2.1%. Order book just over $288 million and a pipeline of $535 million. Andre, I appreciate the time today. In the notes, Donnie refers to a resilient 2023. In what I imagine must have been tough trading conditions. If I look at some of the commodity prices out there, if I think about input cost pressures coming through, a tough year.
Yeah, Simon, 100% right. It's been one of those where you're very glad you diversified into so many different countries and different commodities. You know, if we were only in South Africa, maybe just in gold or PGMs, we, you know, would have totally different. So I think that's the benefit of the last 20-odd years diversifying in all of these different areas and having the benefit now, because you're right, some of the commodities really struggled and you did see some contracts fall off, some clients, you know, cutting back on capital, and then some other areas they couldn't get enough of your machines, they just wanted more, you know. So it's one of those where, you know, it helped quite a lot, but tough, you know, very tough environment with inflation and high interest rates and everything that goes with it.
Yeah, of course, interest rates as well. Gold's at record levels, copper doing well, PGMs not. I mean, do you have a large exposure to any single commodity, or is it just diversified across the board and you've got bits of tons, probably some commodities which I'm not even aware of?
Yeah, look, we've got a nice spread, but, you know, I would say about 80% of our order book and the revenue we usually make per year are made up by copper, gold, silver, and the PGMs. Mm-hmm. And we always said, you know, if you've got copper and gold, maybe each at 30%, and then the others, you know, the bits of each, then we're in a good position. I think where we are today, I think gold and copper combined with just under 50%, silver and the zincs, they were up in the 20%, and PGMs, which, you know, we all a bit nervous about, was at 13%. But I think the projects we're busy with on the PGM side, it's actually going quite well, and some of those projects is really helping the miners getting to the ore quicker. So actually, in a way, helping them to get it out sooner and start making some cash flows. So we're not too worried about by our exposure at the moment. And, you know, you said about some funny ones that you maybe don't know of. You know, it is. We do a bit of diamonds. We do a bit of nickel. We do a bit of iron ore, manganese, chrome. But those are low. You know, it's in a 1-3% each of those. And then obviously a bit of civils that we also try and do.
And geographically, I mean, my understanding, I mean, you are geographically diverse across the planet. But Africa is a key focus area for you.
Yeah, Africa has always been very good for us. Not only South Africa, but up into Africa, which obviously conditions are much more difficult to operate in, and logistics is a bit of a nightmare to get all your equipment and your consumables and your people at those places and keep them safe as well. So it is a tough environment, but Africa has been very good to us. I think that what surprised us a bit last year was what we call rest of the world, those that don't really fit in somewhere, the European area, the Indian area, and the Australian area actually combined Those copper has really done also well last year. So it's only the, call it the western side of the globe, the North Americas and the South Americas, that was actually a bit disappointing in the last year. But they tell me they are very positive about 2024. So we'll watch the space.
We'll watch the space. You mentioned some clients, you know, can't get enough of your machines. Some clients don't need them anymore. Is this related to the commodities that they're in? I mean, if I'm a PGM miner right now, I'm probably not taking your calls. If I'm a gold miner, I'm probably beating down your door.
100% right. 100% right. And no disrespect to the miners, but their planning aren't always 100% as it's supposed to be. So that's why some of them will call you and say, do you have a couple of machines for me to deliver tomorrow? You know, and it's quite a logistics nightmare. But that is, it is linked to the commodities. But I think in a way, you know, you've got different jobs that you do for the different clients. I would say those on the expansion side, when the commodity prices are down, those ones are a bit under risk. Mm-hmm. But we also do a lot of drilling for the guys, what we would call operational expenses for them. And it's just, you know, getting normal ventilation between the different levels of the mine, which is not linked to the capital cycle. So those kind of work will continue even though commodity prices are lower, because it's to keep the mine alive. So you've got a bit of a mix between the expansion capital and the sustainable capital for the clients as well.
There's also a lot of technology. I mean, when master drilling first came onto my radar probably about a decade ago, it was, I don't want to say it was one trick pony, but it was mostly sort of the big holes. And now it's a lot more cutting edge technology. I mean, you've got robotic surface drilling, you've got non-explosive mining solutions, a much wider range offering to diversity of clients.
Correct. And that's exactly what we're focusing on, further diversifying into that and giving specialized services to the client. So it's a couple of really exciting things that we're busy with, obviously things that still in a, call it a R&D phase, and we haven't really started making money out of that. But we see that as part of the future. Dani always mentions that in 10, 20 years' time, on traditional raise boring, you see that as a smaller part of the business. And the tunnels that we'll drill and the shaft that we'll sink with a mechanical cutting, that will be the biggest part of the business. So that's a dream. That's where we would love to get to in decade to come.
Strong order book and pipeline. I mentioned up top, 288 million on order book, 535 million in pipeline, both of those US dollars. What sort of timeline are those looking out at? Is this years or perhaps even a decade out?
No, I think the longest it goes out is about 3 years. So I think half of that is in the next 12 months. And then after that, it becomes more smaller for those periods. We normally get contracted for shorter periods of time. Not a lot of projects that you get more than 1 year, but there are some clients that like to get you on a 3 or 5 year contract, which we obviously also like to have. It makes your flow a bit more certain, but most of it is in the next 12 months.
We'll leave it there. That's Andrea van Deventer, CFO at Master Drilling. Appreciate the time today.
When you stay invested over time in Stanlib's Global Multi-Strategy Diversified Growth Fund, your money's in for some smooth sailing. With our global partners, JP Morgan Asset Management, at the helm, your money can withstand the pressure and bad weather day-to-day market conditions cause. All aboard? Seek more returns at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
I'm chatting with Connie Bloom, founder and MD at Mesh.Trade. Connie, appreciate the time. We chatted a little while ago around the idea of tokenization of assets, of whatever that asset might be. You're now bringing a tokenized corporate bond in what, as I can see, is a first for yourselves, a first in the continent, and we don't really have much in the world either. But give us a bit of details around this bond that you're bringing to market.
We're so excited to bring this bond to market. As you mentioned, it is the first in Africa, and all the others that we can see in the rest of the world is something called OTC or over the counter. It's very small, it's very niche, and only a few people have access to it. But with Mesh, we've now done something new and wonderful. Because what we're doing with this corporate bond in partnership with the Morse Initiative is to take out a real asset with real investment behind it and offering it to the public. So basically anyone in South Africa can sign up and buy this tokenized bond. And it is something that will, we hope, revolutionize the capital markets and open it up to more and more people to participate.
It is. I mean, obviously, there's an ease to it in that sort of a process. From the issuer perspective, I mean, what was their thinking around going for this? I mean, aside from the innovation behind it, is this cheaper? Is it quicker? Is it easier?
It's all of the above. But for our issuers, the main problem statement that we resolve for them is the current capital market structure can no longer serve and react to the needs of modern businesses. Mm-hmm. So modern businesses need money next week or tomorrow, and they can't go through this 6, 8, 12-month process to find an exchange, list it, change all their corporate structures to get that critical capital into their businesses that they need to grow. And we saw this opportunity and we stepped in to eliminate all those middlemen, to eliminate all those processes and basically compress the capital markets into elegant flow, offering our issuers direct access to their investors that would love to see their businesses growing to create, let's say, the future of South Africa.
It's also, imagine, partly around size. I mean, you're raising 100 million, which for you and I and the listeners out there is a giant number. But for the bond market, I don't think they get out of bed much for 100 million. So it kind of opens a whole new avenue for that sort of smaller issuance.
Absolutely, absolutely. When you look at the current debt market in South Africa, you're correct in pointing out that generally this market starts around at 250, 500 million rand before even someone starts lifting an eyebrow. So this is something that's unique and it's new, especially for our issuers who are good entrepreneurial companies, but they're no longer venture companies. So there's no one to serve them in this market. And this breaks open that space for them, but also for our retail investors, it's a smaller investment amount. So it's something exciting and new to get involved into. This is only the first one coming out to market. We have many other companies lined up. Mm-hmm. And this cause, though, is worthy to support because it goes for mother tongue education within South Africa.
Yeah.
And it's something that we think is very prominent at this stage. Therefore, this was our first initiative that we chose to take to market.
It's going to be paying prime plus 2%. What is the value per unit? I mean, how small can I come in with an investment? And is there an upside cap where I sort of can't go too big?
There's no upside. Mm-hmm. So the 100 million is the limit. It can even go slightly over it. So if any of our investors are being very ambitious, mm-hmm. we can go up to 150 million on this asset. But the minimum amount that you can come into by one token or one bond contract is 5,000 rand, which is yet again very novel in this part of the industry because generally the minimum investment amount currently is 1 million if you go for the normal markets.
Yeah, I tried to buy an Eskom bond once and I think they wanted 10 million beyond my route. And then will there be a secondary market? So if I buy the bond and I don't know, 6 months, a year, because if I understand it's going to run for a decade, at some point, if I want to exit or perhaps realize a return, is there a secondary market as well that could be trading post the issuance?
Yes, there is a secondary market to trade post the issuance. These instruments, as you pointed out, has a long life cycle, 10 years. Mm-hmm. We all know that in 10 years, many things can happen. 10 years ago, I was very young and maybe in between you need some money. So yes, there's a secondary market. You can exit out of your investment. We'll see how liquid that secondary market is. Mm-hmm. But yet again, it's the first time that the public market can participate in this kind of asset. And everywhere else in the world where we've seen it, it's been a very liquid market.
Yeah. Last question. As I said, it's paying prime plus 2%. That's going to be on a quarterly basis. Will that then go into the mesh.trade account? In other words, I could withdraw it as cash or keep it in there and buy some more in the secondary market or see what else is coming.
Yes, you can do that. And it's a perfect opportunity then to invest in some of our other assets as well. Whether you're looking for ETF or ETN to expand your portfolio, some cryptos, or some of these new smart assets that I was alluding to that we will be issuing in the following months as well.
We'll leave it there. That's Connie Blum, Mesh.trade, founder and MD. Appreciate the time. That's it for today. I was chatting with Kieran Whitten from Anchor yesterday. MTN results. Yo, HEPS down 72%. And half of that collapse is directly related to the Nigerian Naira. And the point is, that money's not coming back. The Naira is not going to suddenly regain all that value. We asked if you were a buyer of MTN. Half of you said,
heck no. A third said already holding, and the remainers saying buying cautiously, very cautiously. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nubuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us an awesome rating in your podcatcher of choice, and we'll chat again tomorrow. Listed Credit, boom days.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.